We're continuing our story of Shimshon. We're up to the fourth chapter. And as we did in the previous chapters, we'll read the section, finish it, and then go back to analyze the exact wording. Avi, Avi, Shimshon returns to his father after he has seen the Timnit, which is an interesting term. Et chasdecha et rosha, I seek out your kindness. El mishberei libi limtzo margoa, help me find tranquility for the waves of my heart. Ki chen yalatchen, hine ra'iti, for I have seen the essence of charm. Yirbat sada yofia bi'ir timnata, and her glory presides in the city of Timnat. The arrows of the light of her eyes have pierced the encasings of my heart. I will not calm day or night. I cannot calm down. We turn over to the other side of the page. And so I turn to you, Father. Give me my request. Take her on my behalf. Do not prevent her from me. Lama tishgeveni bezera. His father turns back to him and says, why, my son, should you err with this foreign, this Gentile girl? Lama tiel mokesh lechau levin nagef. Why should she be a stumbling block on your behalf? Hen bivnot achecha yifat mare. Are there no good-looking girls among the Jewish women? That your heart takes you to take from these Philistine uncircumcised ones, to take an assistant, a wife on your behalf right now. Shimshon answers, no, I want you to take her on my behalf. For my heart has connected to her beauty, her countenance, uvaho alti ki levat tuchal latet manoach el morashei libi. It is in her that I desire. She alone will give rest to my heart that's been aroused. Otah lakoach, I must take her. Lo yichabu rishpei cheshek kol maim. All the waters of the world will not quench, will not put out the fire of my desire. Lo yishtefu otam naharot sachu. All the different streams will not put out this fire. Lo lasirav lev umor einaim ad yasigu chishkam uvo yismachu. My heart has been taken in captivity. You will not be able to free it. You will not give me back the light of my eyes until my heart and eyes attain what they desire. So now that we've read through this conversation in poetic form, let's analyze word by word what's going on here. And Shimshon's speech begins with the words Avi, Avi. And Ramchal over here, I think, is giving us a very interesting play on words. Where do we find the words Avi, Avi when Elisha, the student, sees his Rebbe Elio being whisked away in chariots of fire? He calls after him and says, Avi, Avi, Rechev Yisrael Ufarashav, my father, who was the chariot, who was the horseman, who was the leader of the people of Israel. And then the Pasuk says, Velo ra'ahu od. And he never saw his father, he never saw his Rebbe, he never saw his teacher, Elio, again. Elio is whisked off into heaven. So Shimshon is beginning his speech, and Ramchal puts in his mouth the words, Avi, Avi, my father, my father. Notice that in Tanakh those words appear when one is departing from one's father, when one will never again connect to one's father. And perhaps Ramchal is alluding to this idea here, that Shimshon is coming, help me! But in fact, this help is really severing the ties with his father. He's going off on his own. A businessman once told me that much of his business is supplying food products to the Palestinian territories. He said they come in, they meet at the border, they come with their containers, and he comes with his containers, they fill the containers, they pay cash on delivery, and then they go off with the food. He said to me, sometimes they show up and they say, we'll pay you tomorrow. And he says, then, no tiki, no washi. Not giving you any produce. He said, you have to understand, it's very tempting to give in. But what happens then is that they won't take any more supplies from me. Because they won't show up tomorrow and pay. And I not only lost the payment for that shipment, I lost the customer. If I give in, then they have an incentive in the short term not to pay me. And then in the long term, I've lost the customer. So it pays for me to play toughy, because if I don't, I've lost double. I lose the payment of that shipment, which I've got at least a 50% chance they'll never show up again, and I can't go into their territory to chase them. They know that. And worse than that, I've lost the customer long term. So sometimes we feel like we really want to give in. You know, people make very strong claims, and they plead and they cry. And you have to ask yourself, if I give in, how's it going to play itself out? And as a parent, you have that. As a sibling, you have that. As a friend, you have that. We very often have situations where it's very tempting, because you care for the person, it's tempting to give in. And perhaps what Ramchal is alluding to over here is that Shimshon is coming. Remember Shimshon's speech, the speech we ended with last time. He says, I'll go to my father because he will not withhold from me that which I desire. I know my father loves me, and therefore I know he'll give me that which I request. Right? That was Shimshon's speech. Look at line 70. Ki lo yichdal mal'ot et chefzi sela. I know forever he never holds anything back from me. And perhaps over there, Ramchal was alluding to the idea that Samson was an only child. After his parents hadn't had children their whole lives, they wanted him desperately. And maybe Ramchal is alluding to the idea that part of his parents' weakness, including the weakness to give in, to let him marry a Gentile girl, was because they had extraordinary love and compassion for him. Extraordinary love that went beyond the call of duty. Went to a realm that wasn't really in Shimshon's interest.
I understand that Shimshon needed their permission to marry this woman?
That's a good question. Why did he need their permission altogether? You see, it seems, from the Tanakh, we would understand that Shimshon needed his parents as a go-between, so that the story will be tsanua. He wouldn't approach the girl directly. But Ramchal does not play it out that way. Ramchal showed us in the last scene that Shimshon himself went down and initiated the conversation with her. And then he comes back to his father and says, that's the one.
He married two girls down there, right?
Okay. We'll get there. Let's see.
Is it the same Timna where he lived with Muhammad?
Yes. Perfect. Yes. Well, two opinions in the Talmud and Sota. One opinion is yes, one opinion is that there are two cities of Timna and they're not the same. Excellent question. Very good.
Sister, wasn't it?
Huh?
Sister?
Very good. Very good. I was wondering, wow, you guys are blowing me away. Right. Vachot Lotan Timna. I kept asking myself, is Ramchal alluding to that when he keeps calling her the Timnit? Who was Timna? Timna was a woman who was a bastard. She was a mamzeret, right? She came from the union of a brother and a sister, a father-in-law who slept with his daughter-in-law, more accurately. And that's where Timna was born. So Timna was this princess bastard who comes to Avram Avinu and says, I want to join the Jewish people. And Avram sees her progenitors, and Avram says, nah, bad idea. And Timna goes off and marries Eliphaz. She says, if I can't get into Avram directly, I'll get through the back door. She marries Eliphaz and fathers who? Fathers Amalek. She's the mother of Amalek. Our sages say, had Avram been more open to accepting Timna, then we wouldn't have had Amalek. Amalek came from Avram being too tough with her. Chazal said the same thing about Christianity, right? That Yeshu's Rebbe was too tough with him. Many of the Jewish people's troubles start when our leaders are sometimes a drop too tough with people that are problematic. But nonetheless, Chazal say they should have been softer with them.
Yaakov Avinu with Dina as well?
Oh, wow, very good, right? Right? Chazal say the same thing about Yaakov and Dina, next week's parsha, right? So
it seems beyond human, I would nail my daughter in the face if it come here as well.
Stay tuned. We'll talk about it next week in the Parsha class, or come back on Thursday. We'll discuss
it
there.
Beautiful. Did Shimshon speak so good to make Shakespeare look like an idiot?
So, maybe we have to just to look beyond the name Timnit. Why is it that he keeps calling her Timnit? I wasn't sure if Ramchal was alluding to the word Monea, which means to prohibit, that maybe he keeps calling her the Timnit, the woman he should have withheld himself from, Limnoa Atzmo. Maybe that's what he was alluding to when he kept calling her Timnit. Or, what you're saying, some correlation between her and the Timna we encounter in the Torah. So, he comes to his father and says, Father, Father! And perhaps he's alluding to this idea, yeah, he's coming and begging, Father, Father, but if you let him do that, you let him take that step, what happens ultimately?
Sever
Gamarnu, like the guy who lets the Palestinians not pay. They're never shown up again. So his father, out of kindness, lets him make the move, but that's part of what Ramchal was alluding to. I don't know of a place that we find Shimshon continuing a relationship with his parents. On the surface, we would have said that this was a way of protecting them. If he's going off and fighting the Philistines, then he doesn't want the Philistines to come back and haunt his parents. On the other hand, we do find that his relatives come and dig him out of the rubble when he dies, right? The Navi does say that. So some relationship existed. El mishberei libi limtzoa malgoa. Samson asks his father, I want you to find an amelioration for the waves of my heart. If mishbar is a wave, so we understand it. But perhaps Ramchal used the word mishbar because the word mishbar also has the root shever, my broken heart. And perhaps, as we will see throughout the speech, Shimshon knows this is a wrong move. I've seen many times where people are dating a girl that's really bad for them. And they're on the brink of engagement. And somewhere inside of them, they know this is a bad move. I should not be doing this. It's very interesting to see a person fighting, because usually what's happened is there's an attraction, there's something that's conquered his heart, and he finds it very hard to take a step away and say, I shouldn't be doing this. But deep down inside, a person really knows. That's what I've seen. So he says to his father, I want you to find an amelioration for either the waves or the breaking of my heart. Now the word chen is an interesting word, because chen means charm. It doesn't really mean beauty. And very often we use the term chen for a person that has no beauty. They charm you. You're taken by their charm because they don't have what it really takes. They don't have the beauty, but they have charm. Yirbat hadar yofia be'ir timnata. Notice, he doesn't say she is a Philistine. He says, her honorable beauty is currently presiding in the city of Timnat. It happens to be she lives there. He's avoiding the fact that she's a Philistine. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. We all do this, right? Dad, I just went to fill the gas last night, right? You neglect to mention I was out till 2 in the morning. I know we agreed I'd be home at 12. You know, we mention the part that we'd like to mention. We sort of cover over the part that we'd like to avoid.
You're making the ultimate sacrifice.
Right.
It's a ruse, isn't it? Isn't it an elaborate ruse, the whole thing?
Let's see. The fact that he speaks about his heart being aroused day and night, and he uses the term Ya'alat Chein, as we saw earlier, Shimshon is using terminology which the Tanakh uses to describe the Torah. The Torah is Ya'alat Chein. Remember? At Pasuk, he was a play on words earlier. So, he uses the term for the Torah to describe the woman. Now you'll say, yes, the Torah is described as the treasured woman. And I'll say, maybe Ramchal is playing it the other way. That Shimshon, or as often happens, is really being taken with the love that should be dedicated elsewhere.
We don't know if he's really just falling for his desires or if his plan to save his people.
We do know, and we will see later on. Meaning the Mishnah in Sota tells us that although Me Hashem Yatzah Davar, Vaviv Imo Lo Yad'u, his parents didn't know that it was Hashem, nonetheless, Shimshon Alach Achrei Einav. There was an element where Shimshon did go after his desire. Meaning there's always two things at play. David HaMelech describes his parents as being intimate because they enjoyed it physically. His father is the most pious of people. How does he talk that way about his father? Because even in an act of a mitzvah, when there's a physical element, there's a certain balance. A person can say, you know, a woman once came to a rabbi with a certain complaint, so the rabbi asked her, she described a certain sin. So the rabbi asked her, did you enjoy it? So the Talmud quotes a story. So she says, Rabbi, tell me, if someone dips their finger in honey and then dips it in your mouth on Yom Kippur, would you enjoy it? It's prohibited. But there are things in life that you can't say I didn't enjoy. That's the conversation.
But he's very complex because Shimshon, one hand we see on the face of it, he's following his eyes, his lusts. And like you say, enjoying it, obviously, whatever the motive is, enjoying it. But when he comes to his eyes, he's giving me up, you know, making a one man fight against the Philistine. Making me a personal battle to save the Jews, and that involves the Jews in it. So yes, like you said, two things happening here. So we've got this big plan to save Am Yisrael, but on the way, like a double agent overseas, you've got a job at 007, but on the way, you have some fun.
We discussed this, and we'll understand it better when we reach his final monologue, when he looks back at his life, and he himself speaks about, what have I done? I mean, so let's hold off. We're holding off on judgment at this point, but we can't avoid noticing how Ramchal is stressing specifically the weaker side. We would expect Shimshon is the greatest sage. He's the shofet, and he's a huge Talmud Chacham, as we discussed when we learned the story of Shimshon. Quite possibly the greatest judge of all time, the greatest judge in Jewish history. So he's phenomenal. And yet, Ramchal is stressing the other side of it, and that's why I said I want us to learn this play, because I feel like this play is speaking to us as we're sitting in the laboratory with a non-Jewish woman, and we're tempted to start a relationship. The play is talking to us when we're out in a university, out in Binghamton or Wyoming or who knows where, and there are no Jewish girls around, and you sit there and you ask yourself, wait a second. There's so much, you know, what a wonderful girl. Why don't I move forward with this? And the play is going to take us through those trials and tribulations when you look at it and say, yeah, the desire is taking hold of me. And so Ramchal is being very sharp in describing that part of the story. Not quite what we'd expect from Ramchal, but I think he's giving us phenomenal tools. He's helping us look at Shimshon and recognize his weaknesses, through that recognize our own weaknesses. And notice the play on words as we turn to the other side of the page. He tells his father, Ota tikachli, take her on my behalf, bal timna mimeni. Is that a coincidence? The timnit, bal timna, don't withhold her from me. His father turns to him, a quote from the pasuk, V'lama tishge b'ni v'zara. Now in the pasuk in Mishle, this is a reference to paganism or Christianity. King Solomon in the book of Mishle, in the book of Proverbs, speaks about the Torah beckoning a person and a person's desires to go after foreign philosophies, other religions. So the words, Lama tishge v'ni bezara utechabek cheik nochriya, those words in Mishle are really an allegory. They're a representation of other religions. King Solomon represents them as the foreign woman. So perhaps what Shimshon's father is telling him is, son, this isn't only about the girl, it's about your religion, it's about all of life. Don't kid yourself. You're telling me the girl that happens to preside in Timnas, and I'm telling you no. It's your whole life. It's your whole belief system. It's everything. Lama tishgeh ani bezara. I understand it's a tishgeh. It's an error. Why should you let yourself fall with this error with a foreign religion? The pasuk refers to religion. It's an allegory in Mishlei. So perhaps Ramchal purposely took this pasuk and put it in Shimshon's father's mouth. And notice how his father goes straight to the point. Are there no girls among your brethren that are beautiful? Very often we kid ourselves. We say, what do you mean? We have excellent communication, there's excellent chemistry. Yeah, we tell ourselves a lot of things. And his father cuts to the chase and says, I know it's her looks. And his father's right. The Navi says that. And in truth, that's really what happens. You know, we had a guy here in class a few years ago. He says, Rabbi, if I'm at a wedding and I see a girl and I really love her, can I ask her out? And I asked, what do you mean you love her? Did you talk to her yet? No, not yet. Do you know her yet? No, not yet. So what do you love about her? I wrote, we had a class on this once. After I got this question more than once, I started realizing that the term love is so cheap, but people kid themselves. So Shimshon's father tells him point blank, come on, it's about beauty. Are there no beautiful Jewish girls? Why do you take from these Philistines that are uncircumcised?
You know, the enemy also, you know.
We'll get there.
Okay.
He stresses that the Philistines are uncircumcised. When a person is uncircumcised, they enjoy life more. There are no two ways about it. They have more skin, and they have more sensitivity with regards to that organ, and there's no two ways about it. An uncircumcised person enjoys life more, enjoys intimacy more. And the Torah comes and tells us, take control. Life is not only about pleasure. You can enjoy life, you should enjoy life, but we have a mitzvah of circumcision. And at the end of the day, the circumcision is painful and reduces the amount of pleasure a person can have. Notice how his father's telling him, you're taking a girl from a people whose focus is pleasure. This isn't our way of life. Yikachacha libecha. You're letting your heart take you. The Medrash says in numerous places, you will find throughout the Torah, the hallmark of a tzaddik is that he controls his heart. The hallmark of a Rasha is that his heart controls him. Even in this week's parsha, the Yom Reisav Bilibo, his heart is what's guiding him, his desires. The tzaddik says, I know I want this, but if it's wrong, I'm not going to do it. And the Rasha says, here's what I want, so let me figure out how I'm going to get what I want. What's in control? Is it, in the words of Inherit the Wind, which is hungrier, my stomach or my soul, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? Never mind. At any rate, there's this constant conflict, and the question is, how do we make life's decisions? So his father in this speech is alluding to this idea, saying, you're letting your heart lead the way. That's not the way to go. The heart can act, but the mind has to always be in check. The mind always has to check what the heart's doing, and this is so true when it comes to dating. I always tell guys, we all have blind spots. Some people are taken by a sense of humor. Some people are taken by a smile. Some people are taken by money. Some people are taken because the girl comes from a great lineage, from a great dynasty, a famous family. There are all kinds of things that could get you excited about a girl. But wait a second, you're marrying the whole person. Don't be blinded. Stop and ask yourself, is the whole picture right?
Okay, you're good with the bad. There's a combi too, you can't have too much perfection.
That's got to be right.
Shouldn't there be the heart and the mind work together? My brain thinks she's amazing. My heart, shouldn't there be a...
You need both. But he's saying, don't let the heart take control without the mind having it say. Why is your heart running the show? Ha'et lakachai. I've seen many times where people were very excited about a girl. And it was bad for them. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone like that be convinced not to marry the girl. I've seen them threatened out of it. I've seen situations where the parents said, we're going to disown you and we're not going to come to the chasna, and spent weeks berating the choice their son made and succeeded. I've seen all kinds of things, but I've never seen a person convinced. But I think that the few times where I saw a person convinced, it was when the parents made this move that Shimshon's father makes. He says, wait. Ha'et lakachat. Is now the time? You want to succeed? Give it time. If you take time, you can win. And this is true with regards to ourselves as well. Very often a person feels like he's being taken by desire. And he asks himself, how am I going to win? And the way to be victorious is by pushing it off. I'll tell you a story about myself. I grew up in a house where my father smoked. My grandfather smoked. My great-grandfather. Everyone in the family smoked. Okay. So when I came of age, I came to Israel. I said to myself, why not? I said to myself, not a good idea. You know what? I'm gonna buy my first cigarette after I finish Seder's run. I didn't come to Israel to run out and buy a pack of cigarettes. I'm going to push it off till I finish the first order of Shas. I finished that to celebrate. I'll buy a pack of cigarettes. I finished Zeran. I said, that was too easy. After Moed. I finished Moed. I said, no, at least half of Shas. Finish half of Shas. Then you'll have what to celebrate. I finished half. I said, no, do it after you finish the whole thing. By pushing myself off, I kept telling myself, it's not a good idea, but I wanted to do it. I kept pushing it off. By the time I hit Ezekim Kachim, I wasn't interested. Never happened. But if I have told myself no, then I don't know if I would have succeeded. The way to conquer ourselves is very often by saying, I'll do it, but later. If you can only push yourself off, then you can very often, you can conquer yourself. I once got an email. Person, not an email, it was even in a text message. A person said, my partner is not interested in keeping the laws of family purity now. What am I to do? So I said, the crux of the response was, when the partner makes advances, it's better not to say no, but say, let's do it tomorrow. No is a harsh response, but if you can push it off to tomorrow, by tomorrow you'll both have more clarity. In the heat of the moment, a person feels taken by desire. Okay, it's very hard to compete with that. It's very hard to hear a no. It's much better if you can say, let's just push it off. And very often, if you can only wait, and that's what Aaron tries to do with regards to the golden calf. He says, tomorrow, Chag Lashem Machar. It didn't work. No guarantees it'll always work, but it almost worked. What does Shimshon say?
Isn't that what Naval? Did she say also like put it off?
She said put it off. That was part of what she said, yeah. Yeah. And in the final sentences of Shimshon's claims against his father, Ramchal really gives it to Shimshon. He puts in Shimshon's mouth the wording of Shechem. Otakachli. Who said that? Shechem, who had abducted Dinah, who had taken a girl. Shechem was a non-Jew, and he comes to his father after he's raped Yaakov's daughter, and he says, I want her. I'm not giving up on her. I want only her. So Shimshon is now speaking like who? Ramchal turns the words of Shimshon into Shechem. And I think you can't avoid, but see what he's telling us here. If a person goes down a path where what I want is what I should get, and what I want is, I'm not giving up on it, then a person can legitimize many things, down to the point where Shechem, and look, it brought about Shechem's downfall. We're going to see it brings about Shimshon's downfall.
Somewhere it says if you rape someone, you should marry them, right? At the same time.
Thursday night. So, let's go on to the next section. We have 5 minutes. We'll begin. I think that in the concluding sentence, Ramchal is telling us what many people think. Ad yasigu chishkam uvo yismachu. People think if I attain my desires, in that I will find happiness. And that's why it's so difficult talking to someone who is taken by a girl. Because in their mind, she represents everything. All of life's happiness is there. So what are you going to tell him? No, you're the bad guy. A guy came to me, he was dating a girl very seriously, and I said to him, you know, I have to be careful what I tell you, because you're so excited over it. It certainly looks like she might be your wife, so I'm not sure it's a good idea for me to say anything at this point. Are you open to hearing anything? Yeah, I want to hear. Okay, he says, yeah, I'm not so sure. But when a person has tremendous desire for a girl, his thought process is what Shimshon just said. Ad yasigu chishkam uvo yismachu. Happiness is life with her. You know, you could write a t-shirt like that. Happiness is life with you. Yes, that's what people believe before they get married. And it's very hard to convince them otherwise. Now, it's true. In a good marriage, that's really what happens. The problem is that beforehand, when a person's enveloped with desire, it's very hard to help them see otherwise. So now we begin Shimshon's speech. Shimshon goes down. Shimshon yored timnata vavivimo. He goes down with his father and mother. V'nei kfir arayot shoeg likrato. A young lion charges him. V'gvura ba leezro. And we know gvura might comes to help him. And this is one of the great games that Ramchal is playing in this play, where his point is to show us what is might. You know, Shimshon is going to have all the prowess. He's going to have all the strength to stand up to a lion, to stand up to so many things. And then in his final speech, he's going to discuss what is true strength. Remember, the play began with Shimshon asking for strength. The play began with Shimshon's perspective on strength. Strength is the ability to take down the Philistines. And at the end of the play, Shimshon's going to rethink what is true strength, as we know from the Mishnah. And this is where we'll pick up Ezrat Hashem with Shimshon's speech to prowess, Shimshon's speech to strength. What does Shimshon say to might? Remember that Ramchal makes might a woman. Gvura is in the form of a woman, as we mentioned earlier, and we'll pick up here Bezrat Hashem next week.